Good morning, Hope Chapel.
Good morning.
I don't know about that.
Good morning, Hope Chapel.
Good morning.
All right.
I think first service still got you guys beat, though. So I'm going to try it one more time later. But hey, I am not Pastor Paul. I'm sorry. My name is Pastor David, and I have the pleasure of having Sunday service with you this morning. Just now during worship, we had somebody who actually wanted to give a word, and so I wanted to ask Luz. Luz, do you still want to give that word? All righty. I'm going to run to you. I'm going to run to you, and you can give that word.
Hello, guys. So I just heard the Lord says, surrender to me. Open your heart to me. From me, you will get peace and find life.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Luz.
God obedience.
Well, where are the Harmons, guys? It's like, what did I come to? They are in Oregon. They do bring their greetings and say hi. They will be back on Tuesday. So if you can, if you do pray for them, continue to just pray for their safe return back. They are driving back down from Oregon. And so it's a good time for them to be up there and to just rest and receive from the Lord. But today I get to bring the word to you. And can I just ask how many was here for first service? All right. Okay. Obviously, we had a first service, and I shared this message already. But during worship, man, I don't know. Something happened. And you know, Pastor Sean, can we give a hand to Pastor Sean and the worship team just for leading us worship this morning? Thank you so much, guys. Have you guys ever done something that's good for you, but in order for it to be good and in order for you to reap the benefit later, you have to endure some pain?
Yeah?
How many of us just now knelt in worship to God and had difficulty getting up? I did, guys. I did. I went to the gym on Thursday and I don't know. I decided to work legs when I haven't done legs in 3 weeks. I decided to do some squats, and my legs are killing me. And I've been like gimping all around the last 3 days. And so if I'm stationary today, guys, please forgive me. It's just my legs are really sore. But as Pastor Paul was leaving, I asked him, hey, you know, we just started a series, Living Beyond Our Setbacks. And Pastor Paul preached last week on the first message, Living Beyond Insecurities. And so I asked him, is that something you want me to follow up with? Or should I just deviate away from the series? And he said, no, you could continue on what I just preached on. And I said, okay. Don't feel qualified to do that. I mean, who am I to preach to you about insecurities when I'm walking through that on a daily basis, right? And I'm like, wow. And so when Pastor Paul preached last week on receiving God's love, how many of us were encouraged by that? Knowing, right, that you have a love deficiency when you're insecure. And so this week, we want to continue the discussion, and we want to continue the discussion within our life groups. And so if you're not a part of life group right now, please sign up for a life group. Get plugged in into a community. It is life-changing. It's not just beneficial for us as staff members, but also for you individually. So please get plugged into a life group. All the information is out front in the lobby. And if you don't know, at least you know Pastor David, ask me. I'll get you plugged in. All right? But today I want to continue that series with the title of the message, Formed by God. And so right now the usher is going to hand out the bulletins and the Bibles. Make sure you have one. The title of today is Formed by God. And Pastor Paul last week touched briefly on what does insecurity look like for each of us. And I wonder, what does it look like for you? Is it being shy or timid at times? Could it be being loud and proud at some times? Could it be showing anger or throwing tantrums. Well, for some people, they could hide insecurity by being blunt. I'm a pretty blunt person. In fact, I shared during our pre-service meeting with our church volunteers. I'm so blunt that I actually don't know sometimes that I've stepped over the threshold. And so if I'm too blunt to you, by all means, come let me know. Come let me know. Just know that when you let me know, you're also informing me of how easily offended you are. But anyways, I feel like, I'm sure all of us want to feel like we're succeeding, right, in one way or another, right? But so often we fall short of what we hope for. In fact, I was studying John Adams, who's our sixth president of the United States. He held more political offices than anyone in the history of our country. He was the president, the senator, the congressman, the secretary of state, the United States ambassador to Netherlands, Germany, France, Russia, and England. And then after his retirement, he got reelected back to Congress and was active in the opposition to the practice of slavery. So if you studied John Adams, you would know that our nation's early history was a product of this man's intellect. Yet at the age of 70, he made the following statement: "My whole life has been a succession of disappointments. I didn't have any success in anything I undertook." Man. Now that is an individual who suffers from low self-esteem. Usually Pastor Paul will share a joke with you, right? And so I'm going to share this one. And I lost it. Aww. I think the joke goes something like this. It is interesting that you see people create fake accounts on social media to post whatever they desire, and I wonder if it's because they're trying to hide from their insecurities. Sign, anonymous. Do you wonder where your self-esteem comes from? I'm curious to know if our perception of our own self-worth has an effect on the effort that we put into our own lives. I also wonder how others perceive us might eventually affect our psyche. Think about these people for a moment. Thomas Edison's teacher said he was too stupid to learn. Albert Einstein's teacher said Albert was mentally slow, unsociable, and adrift forever in his foolish dreams. Walt Disney was fired from his newspaper because the editor thought he lacked ideas. Interestingly, Disney originally didn't want Star Wars because they didn't think it was going to do anything for them. Can you imagine the amount of insecurity this man might have felt at that time? To hear things that basically say they don't measure up or they're not good enough. Maybe some of us can relate to feeling insecure because of something in our past. Perhaps someone said hurtful things to us years ago and we're still holding on to that. Or maybe it's something recent that's making you feel insecure about yourself. Nicola and I have a daughter that's turning 3 in June, and she made this card for me for today because she knows I was gonna preach. And so it's a little reminder of just her being so cute. But many of you know that Nicola and I, we're expecting twins this year. And the amount of responsibility that I feel over Eliana alone is already overwhelming. And so when we found out that we were having twins, I did not handle it well. See, you guys can laugh about it. But it was just a few weeks back when we were in a doctor's office for the first time to confirm the pregnancy. The doctor had the ultrasound on, said, "Oh yeah, baby looks good, measuring at 8 weeks, you're right on time. I measure 8 weeks, 2 days." I think that was something like that. And then goes on to talk, and then 5 minutes later, it's like, "Hey dad, you see the screen?" I was like, "Yeah." It's like, "Do you see the screen?" I was like, "Yes, I see the screen, I see the baby." He's like, "No, you got twins." And I go, no. He's like, yeah, you got twins. No. And I sat down. If Nicola could have recorded it, she would have. I was so overwhelmed in that moment. All the feelings of insecurity and doubt. I went, what did we just do? What did we just do? It's not like we were, yeah, we wanted kids. We wanted another kid. But it's not like we were doing IVF or anything. No, this is like complete natural, guys. Like no history whatsoever. Complete miracle of God. And I'm going like, what in the world? And so we're trying to process. I'm still trying to process twins, guys. I'm still trying to process that. But one night I asked Nicolette, out of my insecurity, I said, am I a good dad? And of course she said, yes. I mean, what else was she going to say, right? But she said, yes. And and she's been great, man. I mean, she's my rock here. And she's been saying, David, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. And she's been like that. And so I don't know where she gets the strength from. I want some of that. But she's been like, everything's okay, right? But I got all these thoughts. I got all these emotions. I'm like, twins, guys. Top it off, guys. The week before we went to see our doctor, a week before that, I had my annual physical checkup with my own doctor. And my own doctor has twins. And for the last 3 years, he's been complaining about the twins. He's like, guys, it's so expensive. You have no idea. It cost me almost $1 million for them to live up to their 18 years old. Like, I already did math. And like, my wife and I are both doctors. And I'm like, great. But so I asked Nicolette, am I a good dad? And she said, yes. And then the cutest thing happened about 2 weeks ago. I don't know how it happened. I'm carrying Eliana up the stairs to a bedroom. And all I said was, I love you. And she looks at me and she says, I love you, Daddy. You're a good daddy. I literally didn't know how to react. I was like, wow. But insecurities, they can happen at any moment to even the best of us. And I think we need to be reminded from time to time about what God has to say about that. Well, so today I wanted us to take a look at Jeremiah. And I think we can be encouraged by what God said to Jeremiah. See, Jeremiah was called to a tough ministry, and he battled insecurity. He believed he was too young for what God had called him to do. And so he lacked the confidence to speak up, and he was scared of what others would say or do to him. His ministry was tough. He was preaching during a time where Israel as a people were wayward, were backwards, backslidden, and they didn't want to respond to God. Kind of like what we're facing now a little bit, huh?
Yes, sir.
Right? In fact, it seemed like Jeremiah had preached for 40 years without any visible impact to the people of Israel. Imagine a pastor today serving for 40 years without being able to baptize one single person. That was what it was like. If you study Jeremiah enough, you might know him as the weeping prophet. He had mood swings, just like you and I. And so if you turn to Jeremiah 20, verse 14 to 18, you will read about the time he curses the day he was born. It says, yet I curse the day I was born. May no one celebrate the day of my birth. I curse the messenger who told my father. I curse the messenger who told my father. Good news, you have a son. Let him be destroyed like the cities of old that the Lord overthrew without mercy. Terrify him all day long with battle shouts because he did not kill me at birth. Oh, that I had died in my mother's womb, that a body had been my grave. Why was I ever born? My entire life has been filled with trouble, sorrow, and shame. Can you imagine somebody writing that now? Can you imagine somebody actually articulating that in this day and age? The amount of sorrow, the amount of insecurity he had while already knowing that he was appointed by God to preach to his people. And he writes this. the comments about the prophets of the Old Testament that when we study them, we shouldn't view them as models of morality, but rather as mirrors for identity. It's like we can study them and feel like we're living their lives. You know, we can understand he's just like me. Yeah? And so what did God say to Jeremiah that I think is valuable for us today? Let's read Jeremiah 1, verse 5. It says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. May we receive it, Lord. May we be encouraged by it. And may we be made bold by it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The first point I want to bring up is, one, you are a product of God. So he says, before I formed you in the womb. The key word in the first part of verse 5 is the word formed. God says, Jeremiah, I formed you in your mother's womb. That word form speaks of producing of something. We typically would use it, for example, say a potter producing a pot out of a clay, right? Or a sculptor producing a statue. And can I say what is true of Jeremiah is also true of us? That God formed each and every one of us individually? In Genesis 1, verse 27, it says, God created us in his own image. That is, there's something we share with God that no other creature shares. That's why human life is so sacred to God. We are a special product, an individual product of God. Now, what that means, I think, is that God is the creator and he knew what he was doing when he made us, when he made you and I. Yes. He made us just like how he wanted us. I'm sure you've heard of this phrase. You know, when God made you, he broke the mold. The truth is, I think when God made every one of us, he broke the mold each and every time. It's amazing that there can be so many people living on planet Earth and there are no two alike. We just found out we're having fraternal twins, guys. They're going to be different, amen? You are a special product of God, and God made you just the way he wanted you. Feelings of inadequacy or insecurity can lead a lot to question God's creation of them. And some people will feel like they're too tall or too short, too pushy or too quiet, right? But Paul, in Romans 9, 20, he writes, who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this? Think about it. Who are we to question God's creative genius? God formed you. He made you the way he wanted. You are one of a kind. There's a story I read that an American tourist went to Paris and bought an amber necklace from a trinket shop. And when he arrived back in New York and he went through customs, he was surprised that he had to pay such an expensive tax on this little gift. And so he went home and he went to his local jewelry shop and said, can you just clean it out? And the store owner says, hey, I would like to offer you $25,000 for this necklace. He goes, what? I didn't pay $25,000. What's going on here? And so he took it to a appraiser. And the appraiser appraised it and said, I would like to offer you $35,000 for this. He goes, what's going on here? I spent barely less than $10 on this thing in Paris. It's like, you didn't put this under a magnifying glass, did you? It's like, no. There's an inscription on it. And it says, from Napoleon to Josephine. See, it was the name on the necklace that gave it its extraordinary worth. I wonder whose name is on you today. Who created you? Now, if that's not enough, let's go study Genesis 1. Why Genesis 1? Because I think it's important to go back to the creation of mankind, to tell us the calling of mankind. Can you believe when God speaks, He doesn't just speak to the surface level? A real word from God should never just speak to the surface of your situation, right? There's a difference between an advice or a counsel from a friend versus a word from God. See, think about it. To get an advice, what do? You give information to your friend, but only information that you deem important, right? And so naturally, you can get good advice, but it's most likely on bad data. They don't know that deep down the reason for your relationships that are in pieces or that you have no peace in your situations is because you're constantly critiquing and correcting yourself and feeling down about yourself. So you get advice that says, oh no, the situation is bad for you, you should leave the situation. But what they don't realize is you can leave the situation, but you still take you with you. And most times, the problem is something you didn't think to tell them. God is different in that He doesn't give advice because He knows what's beneath the surface. So while you're describing all the symptoms of your problems, He's trying to give you the cure to the cause of it. Now, everyone will tell you in Genesis, the story of the creation of mankind starts at Genesis 1:26, the sixth day. And they are right. But I want us to start a look at verse 20, the fifth day. Because it's on the fifth day that God does something different that He didn't do in the days before that. So Genesis 1 verse 20, it says, "Then God says, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fifth day." So on the fifth day, God created the fish and the birds. He says, let the fish fill the seas, and the birds fill the skies. Okay. Now, you probably wouldn't notice this, because we started in verse 20. We started on the fifth day. It's my fault. But He did something different here that God didn't do in days 1, 2, 3, and 4. And that is, God blessed the thing that He created. Go study for yourself. Go confirm that. It was only until day 5 that God started blessing the things that He created. And I wonder why. Maybe it's because on day 5 He started creating living creatures and blessed them. Are you a living creature? And if so, are you therefore then blessed? How many of you can say, I am blessed to be alive today? Amen. Can we just spend 10 seconds right now just praising God? I am blessed right now. I am blessed to be alive. I am blessed to be here breathing. I am blessed despite of what happened yesterday, what happened 2 weeks ago. I am blessed. Point number 2, you are the delight of God. Scriptures in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, I knew you. The key word here is the word knew. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. He's not talking about intellectual knowledge. God's talking about a special, intimate, loving knowledge, personal knowledge of you. It's the same word that Adam used to describe his intimacy with Eve, where it says, Adam knew Eve and she conceived. Right. The word knowledge here refers to a special, intimate, loving knowledge God has with respect to His children. His children gives Him pleasure because He loves them in a special way. You are the delight of God. And when He formed you in your mother's womb, He already knew you. That is basically saying God already knows all about you, and He loves you anyway. So the fact that God knew, God loved Jeremiah and that He knew him before he was even born would bring more meaning later. See, God knew there would be a time where Jeremiah would look out to the people that he was preaching to and would feel a little insecure. People can be tough. People can be mean. I mean, some people just look mean.
I mean, I'm staring at you guys. Man. And so sometimes, can we all just feel a little like Jeremiah, a little bit insecure? You could say, I'm too young, or maybe you say, I'm too old. Maybe I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough. Maybe I'm not strong enough, or my body's not good enough, and so on. I know when Pastor Paul asked me to preach, I'm like, are you serious? I told him before, I'm like, 2 is my maximum for the year. And so this is my second one for this year. So I'm like, but then, out of the kindness of your heart, you always tell Pastor Paul, David, Pastor David does so good. And he was like, you know, everyone tells me you're doing so good, so you should preach for him. I'm like, no! The story of a guy whose wife was fascinated with this Hollywood actor. How many of us have people that we admire, right, in Hollywood? And so she really liked watching him on TV. How many Ryan Reynolds fans here? Yeah, there we go. All right. And so one day, the husband caught his wife looking at the actor for some time and said, you take away his money, you take away his good looks, you take away his body. What do you have? She smiled and said, I have you. But see, the difference here is God says to his children, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. You are my creation and my delight. I made you just the way I wanted to make you. And I love you just the way you are. So when you start to feel insecure, can you just remember that you are a product of God and that you are a delight to God? Something else to remember, point number 3, you are purposed by God. The rest of Jeremiah 1:5 says, before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Two words here, apart and appointed. Some translations will say sanctified and ordained. Just as God had appointed Jeremiah for a specific task in his life, God appoints each and every one of us to live and work for his glory. No matter what our job is, no matter where our location is, and no matter what our present situation. And just as God equips Jeremiah to do what he has called him to do, God will equip and empower you to do what he has called you to do. But here's the thing, guys. Eliana's favorite movie for the last, a month before was Little Mermaid. She loved watching Little Mermaid. And then, like, in the last week or so, she's changed it to Cinderella. But I like this term. We have a lot of Little Mermaid Christians. Who here remembers Little Mermaid? The main character, Ariel, right? She had a problem, right? What did she say? Wish I could be part of that world. And see, we have a lot of Christians that haven't read Romans 12, verse 2, where it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. God has created you for a special purpose. God didn't create you to copy this world. So you have to move in and operate according to and function by what your purpose for. Your greatest purpose to God is to bring him glory. Your purpose is not to highlight insecurities. Your purpose is not to glorify negativity. Your purpose is to glorify God himself. Revelation 4 verse 11 says, for you created all things and they exist because you created what you please. Do you think God is pleased to create doubt? Do you think God is pleased to create self-loathing? No. But he is pleased to create you. So no matter your current job or schooling or background or giftedness or assignment, fulfill your greatest purpose by living for God's greater glory. I'm going to invite Pastor Sean up as we close here. Ultimately, you will find security and your identity
when you know Christ Jesus. If you place your faith in Christ, you should know that God accepts us. He accepts us. We do not have to earn his approval because we already have it in Christ Jesus. That is real security, internal security. I'm reminded of the song we used to sing in church, Glory to Glory. God is calling you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. What insecurities within you is keeping you from seeing the strength that God has given you? I wonder what is the Holy Spirit bringing to light that God did not purpose you for. So right now we're going to drop the house lights. We're going to take a moment. Will you allow God to speak into those areas of your life that is beneath the surface? Will you allow God to help you realize what you need to operate in and what your purpose is? And some of you might say, I spent time and I still don't know. That's okay. God knows. God knows. As I'm preparing for this message, every time Nikolai would ask me, hey, do you know what you're going to preach on Sunday? And I said, no. She said, I have no idea. And she'll always say the same thing. She'll say, preach Jesus. Okay. Easy set. But this was a tough message for me to prepare because I have my own insecurities. I have my own worries. I have times where I feel so inadequate. And maybe that's why I'm a pastor in the church, because I need it more than all of you guys. I need to be here closest to God. But can I encourage you right now? What are the things that you're afraid of telling your friend that you should be telling God? What are things that you should give up? What worries you at night? I told the first service, I'm operating on half an hour of sleep this morning. This message got me. But what keeps you up at night? And will you surrender that to the Lord? Can we all stand and worship God one more time this morning?
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.